So we won't do the detailed conversation on the GAA then, Sinead Ryan, will we not?
We certainly will not, Jonathan. Well, sorry, it'll be dead air. You can ask me anything you like. I'll sound confident, but
Roscommon or Mayo, we'll let you call it. No idea.
It's definitely going to be one of them.
Let's talk about housing, which is the reason why Sinead Ryan has given up her bank holiday Monday morning, and thank you very much for that. There's lots to talk about. We've the crisis in homelessness, which is a huge issue. Rents are soaring. First-time buyers are back to Celtic Tiger levels of stupidity, queuing around the block to see a plan as opposed to an actual physical house. And the headlines just keep coming and coming. In fact, there's one on the front of the Irish Independent this morning, which we'll get to in a while. Mortgage swallows up a third of income. So who in the name of all that is right and holy is actually buying a house at the moment of all these houses that are being bought?
Well, I've a couple of views on this. The first thing is that anybody who tells you there's a simple solution to any of this does not understand the housing market. That's the first thing, okay? And there's been politicians jumping out of the woodwork saying if only the government did X, Y, Z, everything would be solved. And that's patent nonsense.
Every time they do something, it gets worse.
Look, I have a real problem with governments faffing about in a private market. I mean, the government has never turned up and said, you know what we should control now? The price of coffee. Or the price of airline flights. Why not meddle in that market? It's much more realistic and we could all do with a bit of a break there. No, it comes in and says, let's introduce all kinds of measures, give it a go, suck it and see stuff around housing. None of them have ever worked. The whole thing has to be much more holistic. And as you say, all those things that you kind of headlined there are all part of the same issue. The problem is that we try and tackle them one at a time. And we say, if we can do this, then everything else will fall into place for the others.
Now, I'm speaking for my generation and your generation, where we were the kind of the last ones that relatively easily got onto the property ladder before the arse fell out of it, or indeed the price made it prohibitive to do so. So what are we going to do for this entire generation of people in their 20s and 30s now who harbour ambitions of owning a home, but for whom it's a pipe dream?
Well, I think what we need to do is get over ourselves in terms of this constant conflating of two separate issues. One is housing, and the other is home ownership. They are completely separate. Jonathan, if I was sitting in a studio with you, and I wish I was, in Berlin, Amsterdam, Rome, Paris, we simply would not be having this conversation about how to buy a home when you're 20-something in a capital city in Europe. It's ridiculous. Now, you can blame the Irish mammy. You can blame the famine. You can blame whatever you like for this constant need for us to own land, own homes. And I know, this is largely an M50 problem, by the way. And there are people sitting in Roscommon, Mayo, Leitrim, other parts of the country who are well able to save up a deposit and buy a home if they wish to do so.
Because the houses there are affordable.
Yes, correct. But trying to make them affordable within the M50 ring is something that is really, really difficult. Every single capital city, and indeed every city, is expensive across the world to buy homes in. So what I would prefer to see is, instead of trying to shoehorn and saddle debt on people who ought not own homes, let us make the rental market so good and so secure that you can rent for 25 years and that there's no stigma attached to doing so.
I cannot let the slander of the Irish mammy stand, right? Because there are mammies listening right now who've rightly gone off you. But the point is, the Irish mammy would always have said, don't pay rent as dead money. And they're kind of right.
Yeah, well, the Irish mammy is probably living in a house with no mortgage on it whatsoever.
Or they bought it for 20 grand.
Well, look, let's get the first myth out of the way. Housing has always been expensive. Okay, like my parents bought their first home in maybe 1965 for 4,000 quid. And people go, oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah, imagine the interest rate was probably something ridiculous.
But 4,000 quid back then was still a multiple of the year's salary. So housing has always been expensive. It was ever thus. What the problem is currently is that we have too much of an emphasis on home ownership and not enough supply in both housing and the rental market.
I want to hear from
and
people,
social housing indeed.
I want to hear from people who are in this conundrum right now. If you are up this bank holiday Monday, drop me a text 53106 for a cost of 30 cent. If you're trying to get on the property ladder, what problems have you encountered? What's frustrating you? And do you agree with Sinead that you should just enjoy rental and get into the system that way? The problem with rental, and this is where it would frustrate me if I was in the system, was if I'm paying, which I think is probably the average rent in Dublin, €1,200 a month, And my, if I could get a mortgage that would cost me €1,000 a month,
yes,
that's the problem.
Know, it absolutely is. And there is a dichotomy there. And it's very frustrating to people to see that money going into a landlord's pocket where it could be, as they would see it, invested in a home to own. That's not a problem of either the banks, the mortgages or the rental situation. That is a factor of supply. And I know that commentators have been saying this over and over again, and everybody knows it to be the answer. The problem is that you have a lot of mechanisms in place to increase supply. Okay, so for instance, even in the social housing situation or in the affordable housing, which I think is a completely untapped market and something we could really do stuff about. Credit union bill was passed recently, which now frees up the credit union to invest millions and billions if they want it. They're completely underlent at the moment into social and affordable housing. Ona Brin had a piece yesterday in the Sunday Business Post. He's on this mortgage committee, and they were saying that market is ripe now to be invested in. It gives people who are on lower incomes, maybe wouldn't get a deposit together for mortgage or even a mortgage qualify for, can start now availing of this in the future. I think it's incredible.
But who's going to build those affordable homes? Because the affordable home has to be built to a non-affordable home, doesn't it?
Well, no, this is part of the issue. The money is there. So it's not, this isn't an affordable issue. The money is there through housing associations, credit unions, and indeed private equity firms are happy to come in and do this. The problem is you can't have government doing it because that breaks the
fiscal rules. So why aren't we building houses like no tomorrow?
Because, first of all, the government has to make a conscious decision to allow this to happen. It's trailing its way through the central bank. Another bit of it is trailing its way through the Department of Finance. The credit unions have come out and said, we're good with this. We're good to go. And it is just the feet have been dragged on it. Now, the other issue is that once you make the decision, the difference between deciding to build a tranche of houses and people moving in is around 2.5 years. And that is a planning issue. The minute you start putting up a sign saying affordable housing coming here soon, what's the first thing that happens?
An objection will go in.
Everybody in the area objects.
But they're not going to do that again. They're not going to come along, which is what they did in the 50s and the 60s, which was sensible, and build affordable houses, i.e. council houses. They used to be called council houses. Do we need to go back to calling them council houses again just to get our mindset
right? What they're called, they need to be start being built, and not this nonsense of taking in, you know, these modular homes which end up costing 3 times as much.
We did the same with schools. We put prefabs in schools that ended up rotting and falling apart. They were there that long. John in Colester, good morning, John. The problem with renting is what happens after you retire. And Joe in Dundalk makes the same point. What happens upon retirement and rental demands are still €1,200 a month. You don't have the equity that you would otherwise build up if you own the home.
Hold on. You see, this is what we do in Ireland. So we bring in plans. We make people buy houses and we get people to stay in them. And then we get people to pass it on to their children. That, like, I have to tell you that's pretty unique.
Okay. That's what we did in the family. Yeah. That's a hangover
but we
from the family.
It may be, but we really need to start getting over ourselves. There are models that are available in almost all European capitals, which allow for renting up and, crucially, renting back down again. In other words, the aspiration isn't you start with a one-bedroom apartment and hopefully, when you're really successful, you end up in a five-bedroom detached house somewhere in the city and you stay there rattling around in it until you're gone. That is not a sustainable model. So what you do is you put rental models in place whereby housing is provided, crucially, in places where people want to live and they are allowed retire back down into them.
But why should some other sod own it other than me? If I can afford it, why can't I own it?
Well, if you can afford it, of course you can own it.
But I can't, because if I was starting out right now, Sinead, I probably wouldn't get a mortgage. Because of the pressures that would be put upon me to have X amount in deposit.
The ability to get a mortgage now is as easy as it was in the boom. The problem is not getting a mortgage. There are banks falling over themselves lending. The government has introduced stupid, ridiculous measures like the first time buyers grant, the help to buy scheme. Central Bank removed all its targets from first time buyers to build deposits. The mortgage is not the issue.
I guess what happened?
Sorry, economics 101. But buying the house, the mortgage isn't the problem anymore. There isn't a bank out there not willing to lend. Sure, look at the gimmicks that they're supplying with it. Free banking. You know, we'll give you your legal fees. We'll do this, we'll do that. We'll pay for cash back if you come to... Like, that's just paid now. The mortgage isn't the issue. The problem is the housing and the supply of housing and the range of housing. Of the 100,000 families on the housing list, the housing, social housing waiting list, 50% of those are for single accommodation. They're single people.
Who don't need a house.
What are we building? 3-bed semis with front and back gardens.
Dara is in County Wicklow. He says, when I bought my first house in 2002, my mortgage payments were less than what I was paying in rent until then. Not only that, but the mortgage only lasts for 20 years. That's what drove my obsession with owning my own home.
And now, of course, it's 35 years and you have this whopping great deposit. Now, I've no problem with the deposit levels, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think people have a right to own their own home. And sorry now if that breaks some rule in the Constitution. I think people have a right and ought to have a right to housing. And that's a completely different thing, John.
But that's not what's in the Constitution. And that's because the Constitution was drafted in 1937 when priorities were different.
But therein lies our problem.
Amy says, we could not get a mortgage. We were priced out of Dublin and Meath, so we bought a house in Cavan. Commute is 1 hour to work. The N3 is fantastic. Our mortgage is €600 a month for a 4-bedroom detached home. We paid €1,200 rent for a 2-bed house. And Amy, that's grand because you made a decision that you're happy living in Cavan, but that's not for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it isn't, of course. And we saw this the first time round, and I was one of those people. I live in Meath. I grew up in Dundrum in County Dublin. Could I afford a house there? No. So you make choices in life that you know, work with your circumstance and your financial ability at the time.
I always knew you were posh. I didn't know you're from Dundrum, but it makes sense now.
It was always the same. So, but it's always been like this. Do you know what I mean? So, like, there's a bit of me, and I don't want to kind of say, there you go and suck it up, but there is a bit that kind of, until we fix Dublin, and it is the M50, and I'm sorry for all the other listeners who are listening there going, do you know what, this isn't part of my problem here. Until we can sort out what we're going to do with Dublin, are we going to build up? Are we going to make decisions to start building 20-storey buildings? Why not? Why the hell not? Other capitals do it.
Maria says, I don't agree with Sinead. Why would you rent and pay off someone else's mortgage? No security. Rent till 65 while working, then what? Pension wouldn't cover half the rent. At least with the mortgage, hopefully it can be paid off before retirement age. I mean, that is a conundrum.
Yep, it is. And I don't have the solution to that. But I do know that the solution does not lie in shoehorning young people into debt that they cannot afford and shouldn't have. The answer is probably providing such a wide range of housing opportunities, from social to affordable to rental to purchase, that people have a choice to make there.
I live and work in Galway. I'm a single female, 38, professional, no option but to house share, which comes with the challenges of lack of security, changing housemates, etc. I got a deposit and a mortgage in principle, cannot afford anything in the market, but was outbid by couples or investors for months. I resigned to stay with rental and to share, which is not how I want to live. Next consideration, a move away from friends, support group, etc. It's extremely frustrating. And there you have it. Yep. That's outside the M50. That's in Galway.
It is very, very frustrating. And housing has always been the most expensive portion of anybody's income. And that's, you were looking at the Indo headline earlier today. It says that.
Is that right, by the way? I mean, it swallows up a third of income.
Yeah, but okay. Not only is it correct, but it has always been correct. Across the world, well, the Western world, certainly the developed world, your housing needs, your accommodation costs should be between 25% and 33% of your income. That's what they are. So we're not out of kilter. It's not new. It's a little bit up on last year. It's not new. And housing is supposed to cost that. That is not the same as saying, let's give everybody a mortgage and make them pay it for 35 years.
Your guest is the first sense I've heard on this in a long time. That's a compliment. But that person's living in Madrid.
Rare.
It is rare. That person is living in Madrid, though. No one here talks of owning a home in the capital city. We rent a beautiful 4-bed apartment, fabulous family home. If Ireland doesn't start growing up and building family-suitable apartments, we'll never solve the problem. The Irish obsession with owning a house, not an apartment, with a horrible little breeze block garden that nobody ever goes into. A house commutable to city centre. We are mad. Take a lead from the Europeans.
And there is a lot to be done in terms of the tenancy situation. And I'm very conscious of the fact that people are nervous about renting because there's no certainty in it. Now, there's some measures that have been taken in recent years about, you know, rent freezes and the designated zones where they can't go up and all that kind of stuff. We need to do 10 times more than that. You need to have a market where A, the stigma is taken away from renting, first of all. B, where it's okay to rent a large space as you increase your family and then rent back down again. That's what they do.
Yeah, but we don't, as you say, we don't,
and we
have
don't
those
have
spaces.
Stock, correct.
That's our
so
issue.
When you think of renting an apartment, what's the first thing that comes into your head? It's a one bed somewhere out in Adamstown with a duplex above it. Okay, that's what we think of in the rental market.
But you should have that in Dublin 2 or Dublin 3 or Dublin 5.
And also, for larger families, we should be able to have 15-storey buildings that have 3 and 4 bedrooms that people can have guests over, they can entertain, they can do all the family things
but
that people want to do.
When we're talking about a government that on a Friday of a bank holiday announces the homeless figures in the hope that no one will pay attention
well, they've
to
they've always
them.
Done it on a bank holiday weekend. I know Owen Murphy, the current minister, who seems very sincere, at least as sincere as the last one, said he wouldn't do any of that nonsense. And there we have it again on a bank holiday. So
and
it really is
the
very
problem for Owen Murphy is we did notice it and we are still talking about it. So it doesn't matter when you put them out, those figures are so bad and the number of children in emergency accommodation is so obvious, you cannot ignore it. Sinead Ryan, lots to talk about there for the newly found middle class, as the Taoiseach described them on television recently. Thank you very much for joining us, Sinead Ryan. Up next, we will talk to the man who's trekking 1,500 miles across Europe, all to raise awareness about dementia.